in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning at the first verse. Then Jesus told them a parable about the need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continual coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this faith on earth? This is the Gospel of Christ. O gracious Lord, everything in our Bibles is your precious word. We ask that you will take these verses that we have read together and make them meaningful and powerful and effective in our lives, we pray. Teach us your truth out of your truth, and apply your truth to our minds, hearts, and wills. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We ought always to pray and not to faint. The words are the words of Jesus, and they are addressed to his disciples. Not a general word to the world. He's talking to his disciples. And if you have your Bible open, you will see that Luke 17:22 gives us that setting. He said to his disciples, and he's still talking to them at the beginning of chapter 18. He told them a parable. It's a word to disciples from the disciples' Lord. Always pray and not lose heart. It's a dutiful necessity, said Jesus. The older translations used to say that you ought always to pray and not to faint. And here we have, you need to pray always and not to faint. And we could translate it, you must pray always and not faint. It's a dutiful necessity. It's a duty laid upon us by the Lord himself. A duty. It's a necessity that is part and parcel of our lives on this earth. We have need to pray. And it's a word to disciples. So if we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ genuinely, truly, and in a committed way, if we want to be disciples, that is to say, those who are learning from him, because that's what disciple means, those who are learning. If we want to be disciples, learning from our Lord, well then here is a word of great clarity from the Lord to his disciples. Their need to pray always and not lose heart. To pray always. Whatever else is happening, there is a duty that is prior, a duty that keeps company with everything else, and a duty that goes on when that particular need is past. Always to pray. A word from the Lord to the disciple. A word from Jesus to me. A word from Jesus to you. If you have a group of Christians together and somebody introduces the topic of prayer, you try this out, you'll find it works. The topic has hardly got underway in discussion before somebody will say, "But there's so much else we must do besides pray." And that's true. There is so much else. The Lord lays many loving commands upon us. The Lord puts many gentle duties before us. The Lord calls us to this, that, and the other. That's true. There are many things that we are required to do. Be careful, of course. We don't do them for our salvation. We do them because we have been saved. We love Jesus and we want to do his will. But, says Jesus, there's something that comes first. And there's something that keeps company with everything else, no matter what you're doing. And there's something that goes on after that particular one has stopped. Always to pray. To pray and not to faint. I believe that for years I misunderstood that verse. I'm sure of it. I thought for years that this verse means that we should, that if we pray, we become durable. If we pray, then whatever we're doing, we won't give up. That praying makes us strong and constant. Now, that happens to be true. When I was ministering at St. Luke's Church in Hampstead in the 1960s, I had a man call on me one evening who wanted to hire our church hall. And we did occasionally. It was a very happy thing to say to him. We're not obliged to hire out the church hall because money is not our problem. I learned afterwards from a church warden at Christ Church Westbourne, where I also served, that the proper thing to say was, "We have plenty of money. Just at the moment, it happens to be in the bank account of our members." But to this chap, I simply said, "Money is not our problem," because actually it wasn't. So I wasn't obliged to rent in the church hall. And when I discovered what he wanted it for, there was no chance that he'd set foot in it. He was a terrorist, a childish sort of person, like the worst sort of rover scout, trying to recover his lost youth. He was actually a solicitor by profession, and he was a terrorist in his spare time, and he went off to South Africa to be a terrorist and kill people. And he wanted to use our church hall to give lectures in order to, that we might be terrorists as well. But I told him that he wasn't going to have the church hall for that, and then we fell to talking about other things. And he said, the difference between me and you, he said, is that I'm man enough to get ahead and do what I believe to be right, whereas you feel you have to pray first in order to have strength. And I was very happy to say, yes, that's true. He thought he had me in a corner, but no, I said, that's perfectly true. I'm a weak, useless, helpless sort of person. I do need to pray and find strength in praying. And I thought that that's what Jesus meant in this verse, that we should pray, and if we prayed, then we would have strength to endure. And it's true. Praying people are durable people. But it's not what this verse means. This verse means pray and never give up praying. The Lord is calling us to constancy in prayer. When we, 1969, when we bought our home in Devon, to which we subsequently retired and which we left in order to come here, when we had our first summer residence there, we discovered that we had an abundance of fruit trees in our garden. And Beryl came in from the garden one day in great excitement, and she said, you know that big apple tree at this end of the garden? Yes. Do you know? It's a Bramley. Cool. Imagine we had a Bramley in our garden. Now, if you talk about Bramleys to people who know their way round about God, which, of course, I don't, but if you talk about Bramleys, they'll say, oh, Bramleys are very good keepers. And they are. But every now and again, you get a Bramley that doesn't keep. And when you go to perhaps have a baked apple for pudding, you discover that your Bramley has gone a very rich and attractive chocolatey brown. Now you may wonder why I say that to you. I say it to you because that illustrates perfectly what that word means, not lose heart. This poor old Bramley that has gone chocolatey brown, it has lost heart. It's given up halfway. It came off the tree, it was destined for the kitchen, and it lost heart halfway and went chocolatey brown. And the Lord is saying to us, you must always pray and not go that interesting shade of chocolatey brown. It's a call to constancy in prayer. We have his command, always pray. We have his illustration. His illustration was this persistent widow. Well, just sit there and listen. There was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, persistence, constancy. This is his illustration of not going chocolatey brown, of keeping on in the task of praying. She kept coming to him. And when the judge thought of all the trouble that she was giving him and the hard time he was having, he said, she keeps bothering me. She will wear me out by her continual coming. What an illustration of persistence and constancy. Now we could weave all sorts of pictures around that widow, but we're not told anything about her circumstances. Maybe it was the case that she had no money to bribe the judge, and that was bothering him. Maybe it was that she had no influential friends to pull strings for her. Maybe she was just... But the Lord Jesus presents her to us simply as a penniless widow coming for help. She kept coming. She kept bothering. She kept continually coming. And that's his illustration. And then when he applies that illustration, he said, "Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night?" You see, it runs right through the story. It's where the parable begins. Always pray. It's what the parable is about. She kept coming. And it's what the parable means to us, crying to God night and day. 24/7. Constancy in prayer. Having given us the command, the Lord Jesus now gives us a carrot. He knows that we're just poor donkeys, so first of all, the stick of our duty to pray always. Now the carrot to entice us to do it. And the carrot is confidence in God. The heart of this parable is some link between an unjust judge and the totally just God. Was Jesus taking a risk in using such an illustration? Well, be careful then. This was an unjust judge. He had no reverence for God. He had no reverence for people. He was totally self-centered. Nevertheless, he was broken down by constancy in asking. And the Lord Jesus is really saying to us, how much more? How much more will that great, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, how much more will his heart be moved? Not by concern for himself, but by concern for us. If we are constant in our asking. And he enables us to look up and see that great and lovely God. Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice. A window into heaven. A window into the heart of God. First of all, we are his chosen ones. We have our place in his love. We don't come bothering him because we can never bother him. He chose us. The older translations had that lovely word, elect. Will not God grant justice to his elect? Whereby he went along the row and said, I'll have you, and you, and you. Because he's God, that is his right. Oh, but what a privileged place he gives us. Because his electing choice is driven by love. I'll have you, and you, and you, because I love you. His elect. And then there's that little phrase that says, his chosen ones, will he delay long in helping them? That's what our church Bible says. But the Greek of Luke's gospel is much more clear and much more abrupt than that. Will not God grant just to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? And he is patient with them. And he is patient with them. We not only have a place in his love as the ones whom he has chosen, we have a place in his presence because he is never out of sorts with us. Patient with us. I've told you before, and I love to tell it again, in Newton Abbot Market, when we lived in Devon, there was one stallholder who sold all sorts of rugs and mats and carpets and things, and he had doormats hanging up in his stall, and on the first doormat it said, beware of the dog. The second one said, beware of the cat. The third one said, beware of the wife. And the fourth one said, not you again. And there's no such mat on the door of heaven. There's no mat that says, beware. There's no mat that says, not you again. There's a notice on the door that says, come in and welcome. He has patience with us. Will he not quickly grant justice to them? Quickly. That is to say, quickly in his estimation of quickness, not ours necessarily. We come with our requests, Lord, we need it yesterday. Lord, we certainly need it today. Lord, we must have it before tomorrow. And he says, all right, it's coming quickly. That is to say, we have a place in his timetable, in his love, his patience, his timetable. He has it all worked out. It's going to be all right. Remember Jairus, who came to Jesus and said, my daughter is at the point of death. And there was this woman who had the hemorrhage who came behind in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. Oh, Judas must have disliked that woman. Longing that Jesus should get to the house before his precious daughter died. And there's this woman with her blessed hemorrhage delaying the whole procedure. It's all. Jesus said to him, don't worry. Just believe. It's all right. And of course it was all right. He had time in his program for the woman with the hemorrhage. He had time in his program for Jairus and his daughter. The wonder of the plan of God, whereby he has time and place for each one of us and all our pettifogging needs. What a carrot to entice us into his presence. On the one hand, constancy in prayer. On the other hand, confidence in God, because he loves us, because he welcomes us, because he's going to deal with us. Well, there it is, my dear ones. Today's message: a sustained habit of prayer. Psalm 55:17. Evening and morning and noonday, I come whispering and murmuring to you. You won't find those words, whispering and murmuring, in the church Bible, but that's what they mean. Evening, morning, noonday, I come whispering and murmuring to you. It's such a simplicity, isn't it? Just whisper and he's there. Just murmur and he's there. A habit of sustained prayer. The habit of simplicity in prayer. The upward glancing of an eye, says the hymn. The upward glancing of an eye when none but God is near. Have you had that experience of being in a company of people, and amongst them is a very special friend with whom you have a special affinity, and your eyes meet and you each know what the other one is thinking? The upward glancing of an eye. He knows. Don't let your prayers become complicated. Constancy in prayer. Simplicity in prayer. Reliance on prayer. She came to him, it says. She came to him saying. Just tell him about it. Beryl was a great hand at what I call hoovering prayer. As she went dashing around the house with a smoothing hoover, she prayed as she went. That's constancy in prayer, and simplicity in prayer, and reliance on prayer. Just murmuring our needs to him. Brethren, do you practice grass-cutting prayer as you make your way up and down your lawn? Are you murmuring and whispering to him always to pray? In Bournemouth, there was a church that was doing particularly well, and we invited the vicar, that is to say, it was growing in numbers and growing in effectiveness, and we in our church wanted to share in that, and we invited the vicar to come and talk to us, and he spoke to us about constancy in prayer. And he said, I'm not a great one, he said, for setting aside long times of the day for prayer. I'm not one of those who can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray until 8 o'clock. He said, that's not my way. I can't do that. He said, but most times of the day, here it comes, most times of the day, he said, you'll find me nattering to God. Do you like that? Most times of the day, you'll find me nattering to God. Always pray and never give up on the task. The Lord is speaking to his disciples. You ought always pray. Don't give up.